Good morning. Hope you guys all had a good week. Wrapping up our series today on the Lord's Prayer. It'll be in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13, if you want to follow along. There's an insert within your bulletins if you'd like to take notes. And also the Lord's Prayer is printed out there as well if you'd like to read it from there. I want to make one thing clear. If I wasn't going to be in recovery from surgery on the Valentine's Day dance dinner thing, I would drop it like it's hot. But but because my doctor says I can't, I won't. You can do it right now. Yeah, I'm on a time frame. Stuff I got to cover here. Nope, we're good. Kelly can tell you I'm not a dancer. That's just... I'm with Ryan, not for me. Let's get on to our scripture today. We started out in verses 9 and 10, and 9 and 10 are important because they tell us the attitude, the spirit, the way in which we're supposed to approach our Father. It says, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." You see, unless our attitude, unless our spirit is right, we can't come to the Lord with what our wants or our wishes or whatever. We have to start with worship, and that's really what these first words speak to us. This is worship. When you come to your Father and you recognize that he is holy, and you recognize that he's not bound like an earthly father to time and place and money and whatever else, that he is in heaven, it changes things. And when his kingdom has come into your heart, into your life, and changed you, it's really about the only way that you can actually pray, "Your will be done." Because it's pretty hard to follow his will if his kingdom hasn't come for you in your heart, if your life hasn't changed. Because you don't want to chase after somebody you're not in love with, you're not passionate about, you're not on fire for. But when his kingdom comes, when your life changes, it's easy to pray that, "And your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." But the attitude, that's all about the attitude. And the next part, the last part, verses 11 through 13, about the relation. See, our prayer, it can relate to the Lord if we understand who we're talking to, where he's at, who he is, what he can do, and all those things. And so the rest of it is, "Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Some translations, as we said last week, say, "For yours is the kingdom," or "For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory forever. Amen." We're not going to get caught up on semantics. This is the Lord's Prayer. Like I said, we could say this prayer every day, but it would mean nothing if we didn't have the right heart and the right spirit to say it. We could just, ritualistically do it, but it would have no power and no meaning, just like anything else we pray to the Lord. If we do it with the wrong spirit, wrong attitude, bad attitude, we're not right with him. We hate our enemy, we this and that. It really doesn't matter how we come to him. Doesn't matter what words we use. They could be the Lord's Prayer, they could be anything else. It's not going to change things. It's about having the right attitude. So give us today our daily bread. That's where we start. There's four things I want to recognize about the "give us today our daily bread," because it's deeper than I first thought it was. It's more in-depth. It's kind of like Pastor Ryan said. I didn't like a lot of what Pastor Ryan said this morning, but one thing that he did say was that what Jesus says has a meaning. It has a deeper meaning behind it. And certainly the Lord's Prayer, there's a deeper meaning behind each of these words. He shared such a small amount of words. I mean, there it is. That's the Lord. They said, "Teach us how to pray, Jesus." They didn't ask, the disciples that is, didn't ask Jesus to specifically teach us how to do this very often. But they said, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." And these are the words that he said for them to use. So there's power and there's meaning and there's impact if you understand what they're saying. And I had to learn some of them myself, and I'm continuing to learn some of them. But let's look at "give us today our daily bread." The first thing that this prayer is it's a prayer of dependency. It's a prayer of dependency. It's about us saying, "Father, apart from you, I wouldn't even be here. I can do nothing for myself. You are my provider. You are my supporter. And I declare my dependence upon you." He breathed you into existence. He knows the number of your days. Once you recognize that, acknowledge that, there's no other thing than to be dependent upon him. Because you can't do it. You have no control over it. We hear sirens right now, and I don't know what's going on with somebody's life, but I pray for them. I hope that they're okay. That could happen to you. That could happen to me at any time. We're dependent. It's a dependency thing. Look what it says in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, 18. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. And how many of you have said that? Come on, you know you have. Look what I've done. Look what I've accumulated. Look what I've created for myself. Look at my home and my cars and my all. Look at this. You've created nothing, though. I've created nothing. Nothing. That's dependence, is when you recognize that fact. It's not just my opinion. It's a fact that we've done nothing. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. It's not you. So if you're healthy enough to work, God gave you that. If he's blessed your boss and company enough to pay your salary, that's his doing, not yours. Give thanks to him. It's a dependency. That's the first thing we see about this prayer, is it's a dependency, a prayer of dependence. The second thing is it's a prayer of sufficiency. All of him is more than enough for all of us. Amen? All of him is more than enough for all of us. That's what we need to remember. Notice here, as we look at this prayer, Jesus doesn't come to us and say, give us this day our, you know, whatever that might be that you're into. For me, it might be a Burger King Oreo shake. Have you had those? Have you had a Burger King Oreo shake? Oh, yeah. Is that my wife? If you haven't had one, you got to have one, but they're really good. If you haven't had a double smash burger from T-Berry's, you got to have one. They're really good. But this prayer here is not, God, give us our double smash burger or give us our Oreo shake. It's, God, today, give us our daily bread. It's not a prayer for our greeds. It's a prayer for our needs. It's different. We have to understand that. It's sufficiency. It's, God, give us what we need to suffice, what we need to make it through today, not what we want and what all this nonsense and craziness and whatever. It's, God, take care of us with the things that we really need. Martin Luther said it this way. He made an observation about this passage, and he said, this is actually, this daily bread doesn't refer to just food, and I agree with him. It's a symbol for all the things which we need for the preservation of life. Food, health, housing, employment, good government, a happy marriage. In other words, praying our daily bread means asking God for all of the areas of our life. It's not necessarily even about food. This prayer actually isn't even speaking of that. The bread for you and the bread for me might be entirely different. When I pray this morning, give me today my daily bread, or give us today our daily bread, that might be for strength to get through the day. I might not be feeling well or whatever. For you, that might be for a wayward child. For you, that might be a marriage in trouble. For you, that might be a job you're looking for because you need one. Your daily bread is not necessarily my daily bread. So when we pray, God, give us today our daily bread, recognize that it's not talking about food. It's talking about whatever we might need for sufficiency. Dependence on him for sufficiency in all of life. And it might look different for you. It might look different for me. But the daily bread you need is there, and he offers it to you. It may be that you need a word from his word. Maybe that's the daily bread that you need. Maybe you haven't been in the word in a while, and you need to get in there a little bit. It's amazing what that daily bread can do for you. You know, you take simple passages like Philippians 4:13, and you say, you know, they say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And maybe that's what you need to hear today. Maybe you're really struggling and you just need to see that. Get in there and see that. Maybe you need to see that he loves you and he made you and he'll never leave you, never forsake you. I don't know what you need to see. I don't know what your daily bread is. But understand, when we pray the prayer, give us today our daily bread, it's not about a food thing necessarily. It's about whatever that is that we need to be dependent upon him for sufficiency in life. The third thing about this prayer is it's a prayer of community. Notice the wording of Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, give me my daily bread. We're supposed to pray, give us our. See, us and our give way to me and my, which is kind of a marital thing, but it's really a relationship with Christ thing too. It's not about you. And so, you know, you replace those things about give me what I need and give me what I want. Instead, it's give us our daily needs. Give us what we need. This prayer reminds us that we're not just like isolated individuals, but we're a community. It's that whole thing we talked about last week when we, you know, the one part of the body when they suffer, like we lost a loved one, Jim Lowry, and we remembered him, and we also celebrate, you know, someone's 90th birthday, Agnes's 90th birthday. The good and the bad that come along in life, we're a community. We're a family. Give us. You see, it's okay that I pray to God and say, God, today will you provide for my family? Will you provide food for me? Will you provide shelter for me? But I cannot forget the fact that there's others in the congregation that aren't maybe in the same spot. I need to pause and remember, I pray for so-and-so who really needs to get that job he's going for this week. I pray for so-and-so who's having that surgery this week that they, you know, watch over them. I pray for so-and-so who, you know, we have to think about others as well. We're not in this alone. Jesus didn't teach us to pray my and me. He taught us to pray us and ours. And the beauty of it is when you learn to pray that way, it's easier than to ask for things for yourself because you've acknowledged who God is in the beginning, our Father in heaven. And you've acknowledged the need of others needing their bread as well, whatever that bread might look like. And then it's easier to come to him for whatever bread that is that you might need that day to get through. So there's a reason why I think he puts it all in this perspective, in this order. And the fourth thing is this, about this particular part of our passage, our daily bread. It's a prayer of commitment. Notice he doesn't say, give me today my monthly bread. You know, we'd kind of like that if the Lord would just kind of hand us over all that we needed for the week or for the month or for the year at the same time. That would be good, right? So we wouldn't have to worry or stress or be anxious about anything because tomorrow is iffy. Next week is suspect. Next month is questionable. Therein lies where faith comes from. This prayer is a prayer of give us this day our daily bread to challenge us to commit ourselves to doing this on an ongoing basis. We don't just do it once and get everything we need. We go to him every single day on our knees or in our car or wherever that might be. There's not a right or a wrong. And we say, give us this day our daily bread. It's a prayer of commitment, showing that we're sold out to him. The Bible says this about it, because we like to have everything all at the same time. This is what the Bible warns us about doing that, Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. That's not the part that's important. This is the part that's important. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. You see, herein lies a problem with you and me if you're a human being. If you get too much, you kind of forget about it. If everything's going well and there's not a lot of stress and no one's really having any problems and kids are all doing good, you know, you just kind of cruise, put it on cruise control and you forget about him. That's what this prayer, that's what this warns of. Coming to him daily, despite whether things are flying like you just want them to fly or whether they're tanking like you don't want them to tank. Otherwise, here's the warning, I may have too much and disown you. Speaking to the Lord, I may disown you. And say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and I might steal and dishonor your name. So we have to be careful about having too much or wanting too much or having even too little. That's why we ask, God, give us today what is sufficient. He knows what your needs are. He knows what you're going through. He knows your relationship struggles, knows your finances and your job and whatever else. Give us today our daily bread. Nothing too much. I want to continue to rely on you and count on you. I don't want to get big-headed. Nothing too little. I don't want to do something stupid that dishonors you. So we have to be careful as we pray that. Why it says that. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I don't really feel like I should pray for anything because I've already gotten a lot and I've been so bad anyway in my life that it's hard for me to come to God and ask him for anything. I don't deserve anything. I'm lucky to even be alive. I get that. I feel the exact same way. By the grace of God, I'm alive. I totally understand. Let me put it to you this way. I have a son, and many of you know that, and he's had his share of struggles, and he's in a really good spot right now. He's in Elkhart. He's at Teen Challenge, doing really, really well, and we're so proud of him. But my son, and I'm assuming this is for your kids as well, my son, I have done anything within the law and even sometimes outside the law, sorry, you officers, friends of mine, to be there for my son because I love him. I have taken him here. I've taken him there. I've went to see him in ICU. I've got him to rehab. I've done whatever it takes to try to And I'm not looking for any accolades for any of this. It's just what we have done because he's our son. And I'm sure you would do the same for your son or daughter, that if they were sick or if they were in need, you would take them to Riley's, or you would take them to treatment, or you would take them to the hospital, or you would, whatever that might be for you, because they're your kid. And you love them, right? Well, imagine then, if that's what I would do and that's what you would do, everything within the law, even outside the law probably, for our children to make sure they were okay. Imagine what our Heavenly Father would do for us. It doesn't matter that you've been bad. It doesn't matter that you haven't been perfect. It doesn't matter that you struggle. Your Heavenly Father loves you. It doesn't matter that your kids struggled. You love them. And you'd do anything for them. Cost is an issue. Sacrifice isn't an issue. It wasn't an issue for God either. He sent his only son to die on a cross for you. It's not, sacrifice isn't an issue. So get over yourself about how, you know, I just don't deserve anything, and recognize the gift of God through Jesus Christ, his son. And if he's willing to do that, how much more is he willing to do? Matthew says it this way: ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a steak? None of us would do that. This is the beautiful part. If you, then, though you are evil, did you know you were evil? I'm evil. If you didn't know that, I hate to break it to you, but you know, you got to go home and tell yourself you're evil, because you are. We're broken, we're damaged, we need Jesus Christ. You find yourself in that position no matter what. I don't want to hurt any feelings. But even though you are evil, if we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will our Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Ponder that for a minute. Our Father in heaven, who's holy, he'd do anything for us. You see, I think a lot of anxiety, a lot of worry, a lot of stress, a lot of problems in life would go away if we would get to a point in our lives where you and I would recognize and acknowledge and truly believe in our heart of hearts that our Father is a capable Father, that he's a compassionate Father, he's a caring Father, that he never leaves you or forsakes you, that he always watches over you, that nothing is too difficult for him. The Bible tells us that nothing's impossible with God. Nothing. For you and I, it is. Give us this day our daily bread. Your bread might be different, but you have bread. You have needs, physical, spiritual, emotional, whatever that is. Trust him. God is always, always good to his people. He always comes through. He always takes care of those who chase after him. Always. You don't ever have to doubt that, question that, wonder that. He always takes care of those who love him. All the time. One of my favorite passages of scriptures in Psalm 145, it says this: the eyes of all, that's you, me, and everything else, the eyes of all look to you, talking to the Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You think about it with animals and everything else. He makes sure it happens. The trees, flowers, whatever it might be, everything happens on his time. He's got this. He's pretty good at it. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The God of everything, our Father in heaven, opens up his hand for you and for me and provides us with exactly what we need. That's what this passage says. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him. Promises that can't be taken away despite what you're going through, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears their cry and he saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him. So I'm not making this stuff up about, you know, God always comes through for his people. He always comes through for those who love him and chase after him. It's a fact. He's done it throughout history. You can read it in his word for all of his children, and that includes you, and that includes me. James takes it a step further. The brother of Jesus says it this way in chapter 1, verse 17. He says, every good and perfect gift is from above, reminding, so he's talking to those who are rich, who are looking down on those who are poor, And maybe you're someone who is bad, and you think, well, I'm not like the guy sitting next to me right now in the pew who's really good. None of that matters. The rich, the poor, the good, the bad, the Jew, the Greek, skip it. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change with shifting shadows. He's the same yesterday as was today as will be tomorrow. That's why we say that God was and God is and God is to come, because he doesn't alter. He's not like friends where they might be a little moody in one day, or a husband where he won't talk to one day because he's grumpy. It's not like that with God. It's not like that with God. And it's in spite or despite our behavior, our actions. He loves us anyway. Even to the end, he always provides for his people. Here's what it says in Revelation, a really cool passage that this is, once we get to be with him, and this is really awesome stuff if you're a believer. Never again will they hunger, never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat, for the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's the promise at the end. So however it's going now, the end is that. The end of the story. So that's a really, really good thing. And it provides confidence to you and I and hope that God's never going to leave us. And he really does always come through, and he always takes care of his people. Always. Quick look at this passage a little bit deeper. First of all, give us today our daily bread, what we're looking at today, and then I'll wrap it up. Give me a couple more minutes, I'll get you out of here. What's interesting about this part of the prayer, and I needed to learn this myself, and so bear with me here, but it's a need of the present. Give us today our daily prayer. And it's also specifically the Father who we go to this, because it's the Father who's the giver of all that is living is because of God. Period. And so he's the Father, the giver, the provider, the sustainer. And so we go to the Father for that. The next part of our prayer is forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, that part. This is a need of the past. I don't know how many of you have a checkered past. Me too. And this part of the prayer says we can come to Jesus, the Redeemer of mankind, for that. And then the third part of this prayer says, lead us not into temptation or deliver us from the evil one, which is a need for the future. You see, you and I have a propensity to get into temptation. God don't tempt us. You can't say that. We tempt ourselves, but we have a propensity to do that. We also have a propensity to get into evil. We're just like that. We're evil people. And so what we have here in the Lord's Prayer, this closing of it, if you will, this ending of it, is we have this beautiful analogy of the Trinity. Not often do you get to see this in Scripture. Maybe when Jesus is baptized and the dove comes up and God speaks to it, this is my son whom I'm well pleased. But here you get to see the Trinity in action in Jesus' words. Give us today our daily bread. That is our present need being taken care of. Forgive us our debts. That's the need of our past being taken care of. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from the evil one. That is the need of the future. In the Father, and in the Son, and in the Holy Spirit. What Jesus is saying here in this prayer is really, really powerful. What he's saying here to you and I is, bring all of you to all of me. Bring your past, bring your present, bring your future, because I hold them anyway, right? Bring all that to me, whatever it looks like, and all of me, my Father will provide for you. I will die for your sins, and the Holy Spirit I'm leaving behind, which he tells us he will in John, will guide you and comfort you and lead you in the way you need to go. So with that being said, we have a prayer that tells us that we can bring every single bit of us to every single bit of him, and that is more than enough for all of our need. That's pretty good stuff. If you're still with me, if you didn't fall asleep. My question to you, my challenge to you is, are you coming to him with all of you, though? A lot of times we harbor that past. We don't think he can do nothing with it. We continue to let it consume us. You know, we worry about today. What are we going to do? You know, how are we going to provide? We try to do it ourselves. It's by our strength. It's by our energy. It's not. Get over it. And then we worry about the future. What's going to happen with my kid? What's going to happen with my marriage? We don't control that anyway, but we know who does. So this morning, my challenge to you with this Lord's Prayer is to come to him and to say with all sincerity, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, and then your will be done in my life. Give me today, give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, because we all need that. Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, otherwise we'll get there. We're really good at it. Deliver us from evil, because we can't be delivered from evil any other way. Not here and now, not for eternity. We need to come to a point this morning where we realize that God is all we need. That he is our healer. That all things are possible through him. Pray with me. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that that is not even a question. I mean, it might be in some of our minds, but it shouldn't be, because you've absolutely proved that through the gift of your son, Jesus. Father, for those of us who come to you with pasts that are questionable or suspect or we feel terrible about, Lord, help us to recognize in this prayer, in these few short words, you tell us, you tell your followers, that we can come to you and that could be wiped away. Help us to realize that our present, no matter what that bread is we need today, no matter what that struggle is that's on our heart today, you got this if we'll trust you. And Father, help those who realize or need to realize that the future, they're worried about tomorrow, they're worried about next week, they're worried about a surgery that's coming up or whatever that might be. Lord, help us to know that you've got this. You never forsake us. You always come through for those who love you and chase after you. Father, we do that today. We humble ourselves before you. Whether we need to do that at the altar or in our seats or wherever that might be, we trust you with our past, with our present, and with our future. In the name of God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, amen.